Well, here we are for our roundtable, and we're going to talk about dating, specifically those first weeks of dating, which everyone has different expectations of, and it can get kind of awkward. You know, sometimes you're like, people want to rush past that first awkward season because you're just like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't really know this person. I don't know, you know, is he going to open the door for me? Blah, blah, blah. What does this look like? So we're going to give some practical ideas here of how we can kind of navigate that awkward space and hopefully come out in a good place in the relationship from there. So we have got Kyle, JB, and Krista here. Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hello. All right. So let's talk about dating and specifically think back to relationships you've had and kind of those first moments, days, weeks. You know, it's kind of a weird thing to introduce because you think, like, isn't dating supposed to be fun? So why do we have so much angst over it? Like, we can't, I mean, from asking for a date to, you know, you think like, okay, I got a date. Now it's just easy from here, but it never is. So talk about, as you're reflecting on a relationship you've had, what were some of your biggest things in those first few dates or first few weeks of dating that you felt like kind of tripped you up, even though you probably didn't expect them to?
So when I first started dating, one of the things that I often struggled with was that defining the relationship talk, you know, into the first few weeks of it. And I think like about a decade ago, I would often put it off thinking, oh, you know, some magical moment's going to happen and then we'll, you know, suddenly call ourselves, you know, a couple or something like that. And obviously that's not real life. You know, it's not quite so cinematic and, you know, with all the unspoken tones of that kind of thing. So I started swinging the pendulum the opposite way. And unfortunately, you know, I started struggling with that whole awkwardness of a date feeling more like a job interview where you're asking questions, trying to get to that, you know, that point of, okay, is this actually going to go on or should I just move further? So to be truth be told, I'm still learning how to navigate that. I think it just all depends on the person. There are some people that I've gone out with and, you know, they've gotten to that point where the comfort level is enough that we can start casually talking about anything. But then there's some other people, you know, who are also feeling you out and, you know, just trying to feel, okay, is this actually going to go further as well? And so you ask each other these questions back and forth, and sometimes that can work, and that is fine. So just learning how to pivot, I think, is something I'm trying to work on right now and not get too neck deep in obsessing over one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think with that, too, I think it's just wondering, you know, how deep of a question should I ask? Because it is the first week. And sometimes I'm like, I'm in the mentality, like, I need to know, like, your deepest, darkest secret. Like, I want to know it now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you don't want to scare them off. So you want to ask, like, you know, oh, you know, who's your favorite sports team? Like, you are, it is, like you said, like an interview in a way. You're interviewing them to see if you want to keep them forward in your life. But it's just like, you don't want to ask, like, you know, oh, did you kill anybody? I don't think that's, you know, something you want to jump into. I mean, it's something you want to know about because you don't want to, you know, marry an axe murderer.
Well, now I'm going to ask that because I'm nervous.
Right? Okay. You don't want to marry an axe murderer, but at the same time, you just want to, you want to get to know them and you don't want to pressure them into thinking like they have to break open the floodgates because there's a lot of people that have their defenses up because of previous dates that they've had with other people and previous experiences. And those questions will be answered in time, but this time you have to figure out, okay, do I like this person at the surface level before I go and like them in the deeper level? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing. And then setting up boundaries, I feel like those are always good. Even, like I said, still the first week, but it's always good to set up some boundaries in a relationship.
Hmm. Yeah, I think communication is one of the things, especially for me. As a female, I can overthink things so much and to the extreme. And the first date I ever went on, it was supposed to be a group outing to a movie. And the guy told the rest of the people not to come. So I was expecting a friend group activity. And I went and it was just me and him. And I was like, oh, okay. And then during the movie, it was more of like, we kind of watched it, but it was more of like, hey, so how many kids do you want?
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can I just watch my movie, please? So it's just finding the right time to communicate how the other person communicates and picking the questions at the right times, not going too deep, kind of like Kyle said right off the bat. Because that's a little scary.
Yeah. It just seems like such a tricky space to navigate because everyone wants to put their best foot forward, but you're so nervous and it's so you're not really talking about real stuff because, I mean, it really does, as JB said, it either trends toward a total interview or it's just too fluffy and you don't learn anything about the person. So you're kind of like, because I know I trend towards, you know, I just yak like forever. In fact, I was recounting a date to one of my friends and she's like, so did you like let this guy ask any questions or did? And I'm like thinking to myself, probably not, because I just volunteered everything that he could have possibly even asked. So it is weird. And actually, now that I'm thinking of it, you know, we talk a lot here at Boundless and it seems like we do in the church about the coffee date. And that seems so innocuous. But it's not really, because that's really like a full-on hour or more of talking. And some people, that's just terrifying. And so I'm almost wondering, like, am I becoming more a proponent of just find something like flat-out fun and do it that like takes up your time, takes up attention, is entertaining, you know, so you can just kind of be comfortable and not feel like you're on the whole time? I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think that can be good, because I know for me, I struggle a lot with almost being a little too direct with some people, and not just in a verbal way, but just in a body language kind of way. Mm-hmm. I was raised
to... As you push the assessments across the table, like, please take these four personality tests and tell me.
No, but in my mind, I think I do those kinds of things. Uh-huh. I mean, maybe not like physically, but I think because I grew up with, you know, the notion that, you know, you should always look people in the eye and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I've kind of just by habit stared people down across a table. Mm-hmm. I know it's really weird, but it's like, you know, I look them directly in the eye and it can be really intimidating when someone's just looking at you for the whole time. And I didn't really realize that until a friend of mine brought it up, you know? And so I've tried to relax a little more and everything. But even with that, I think there's a part of me, because I tend to overthink, like Krista was saying, I tend to overthink things as well. And then I'm running all these things in my head, like, oh my goodness, you know, what could our lives be like if we had kids and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like trying to map out the full roadmap of what our dating and married life could be like, that it's hard to focus on the moment and not get too caught up in it. And, you know, people know that, you know, if you're in that kind of thought, they can tell. And I think that can lead to these moments of, okay, I know he wants to ask me more, but he's not. He's holding back. Mm-hmm. And okay, when are we going to get there? Like, when are we going to get there? So I would say, like, one of the things that I've been trying to work on doing a little bit more is just being a little bit more verbally upfront and say, hey, you know, what brought you here, basically. You know, we don't have to go into all the past relationships talks and all that right away, but, you know, it is a good gauge of finding out, okay, what are you looking for?
Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So getting past the first date, like say that that's done and that was pretty successful and you're kind of like, okay, you know, I want to do something else, but what does that look like? Like, how do you, for the second date, third date, kind of the next weeks, how do you navigate, like, moving forward? Who's going to pay? Who's going to ask about the next dates? Who, at what point, you know, if you're going to go on these individual dates with the same person, at what point do you, like JB said, have that conversation of like, so are we actually dating now? Or what do we call this? Like, do you have to just kind of insert those conversations or those benchmarks? Or what does that look like for you guys as you figure out who's doing what in this relationship and where is it going? Is it going anywhere?
I think it's good to have open expectations going into things. And also, I mean, for me personally, as the female, yes, it would be nice for the guy to pay, but I don't want to expect that. I kind of gauge it off the person and also the communication that we've been having for those kinds of talks and topics.
My current relationship is the longest one, and we kind of just started off, I just confessed my feelings to her, and then I wanted to meet her family. It was very unorthodox of how the world views it now, but I wanted to meet her parents before I started dating because I wanted their approval for dating. And then we jumped into it, but we were like friends at first. So we built that relationship and had its foundation before we started dating. So I think, sometimes it's just good to start off on a friend basis because you start out so strong. You know the person, you know, like, you know, you've seen the ugly and you've seen the good. So when you start dating, it's just like, okay, well, we're already having good conversation. We were in group settings already. We can get with our church group or whatever. So I feel comfortable with you. And then you can just dive into it. And then the dates are just seem easier. The conversations are easier. And it just kind of flows just really well once you start off as friends.
Hmm. You know, what Kyle just described is what I would love to see happen in my own relationships. Just because, like, I have this picture, like I said, this roadmap of, like, oh, yeah, we'll start out as friends, mm-hmm. and then we'll go on to here, and then here, and then here, and so on and so forth. And that's great, but, like, if you're outside, you know, in the world of meeting complete strangers online, for example, maybe not complete because you're talking first, of course, but... you're already meeting with the pretense of, oh, you know, this is a date, you know, we're supposed to be working towards some kind of objective here. And that kind of carries this, you know, loaded nature to it. And it's a lot harder to let that go and engage in, you know, an authentic conversation. And I find myself struggling with that a lot because in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, we both set aside time for this. We didn't know each other beforehand. We're meeting under the pretense that this is a date. What exactly is this going toward? And I've had to be okay with the idea that maybe that's all it is. And that's great, you know. There are some women I've gone out with who, you know, after we're done, we, you know, maybe it lasts us about 3 dates where we all kind of try different things and, you know, see how we both interact in different kinds of environments and activities. Like Lisa said, you know, a coffee date versus an activity kind of date. But, you know, after that, we may say, okay, you know, this isn't going anywhere, but some of us keep in touch. Some of us, you know, we basically structure a friendship around the fact that we just met on a dating site. And there's one person whose whole family I got to know based on that. And I'm really thankful for that. So just being open in that regard has been really helpful, I think.
Yeah. So circling back to you, Kyle, because you mentioned, you know, your current girlfriend, you were friends beforehand. Is there anything that is uniquely awkward about being friends first and then moving it into dating? Like anything that is hard about that transition of like, oh, now we're this?
Definitely, because you're in the same friend group. So it's like you have the same friends. And so you go into it and you're thinking, well, first of all, if something goes south, is my friendship with, you know, in this case, Bree, is my friendship with Bree going to be affected if we break up? Because I still want to be her friend, but if we go through something, we break up, I might lose that friendship, and it's something that I value so dearly. And second, am I going to lose the group of friends that we're with, or is she going to lose the friends that we're with? And it's just like, when you're in a relationship, you start a relationship, you're not only starting a relationship with that person, and like, once it's long-term, you start bringing people in and friend groups and in family into that relationship, and they're invested in it as well. So if you break that off, it's like you're losing a bunch of people sometimes. So it's really hard, and you have to think about that and process it. Like, okay, who all is this going to affect besides me and this other person?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about making the transition into some form of PDA. Like, what is that something people have a lot of angst over? Because that never happens like it does in the movies where there's this natural moment and like Puccini is playing and then we're like, okay, this is it. I mean, I know in one of my relationships, the guy was just like, you know, and he was just super clinical about everything, it seemed, but he's like, okay, so anyway, I think I just want to kiss you now. And I was like, okay, yeah, that needs to just go down on some kind of form that we both fill out or something. So it was just weird. I mean, and it was, I don't know that he could have done it any better because that was just kind of his personality. So, but it just definitely didn't, you know, feel like it probably should have. So, yeah.
I think like Kyle said before, setting boundaries really early on in the relationship is key, honestly, so you know where each other stands on PDA, mm-hmm. what you're comfortable with, what you want to save, whether this relationship goes towards marriage or if it doesn't. Just setting those boundaries honestly as soon as possible so you know where each other stands.
Yeah. Although that is, how would you explain that that works, Krista? Because again, that there could be some people who are like, on the first date, like, want to hold your hand or something. And you're clearly you're not going to be like getting your coffee and being like, so let's just talk about at least hand holding here. Because then you don't want to be the weird person that's jumping the gun and being like, why are we talking about this already? But but yet you don't want to be caught off guard either. So
right. Yeah. I think that's also kind of feeling it out with the person, with what you're comfortable with. Some people like to hold hands on the first date and that kind of stuff. If you're comfortable with it, go for it. But make sure if there's things that you want to set as boundaries to let the other person know. And I think they'll have respect for you for doing that because you're not only respecting yourself, but you're respecting them by letting them know those expectations.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely, like, read the room. I mean, that's a big thing. It's just like, I'm not vibing off her. She seems like she's very, like, you know. I mean, it's subconsciously, it's so easy to read body language. But, like, when it's in your forefront, you don't think about it. But you can easily tell, like, okay, she's kind of stiff. I don't think she really wants me to hold her hand right now. You just feel out the date. Like, read the room, like I said. And just, you know, I think it is important to ask, like, can I hold your hand, like, later down in the line? I think that with the first date, like, first minute you're walking into the restaurant, can I hold your hand? It's going to be like, oh, I don't know. We just
remind
met.
Me of your name again.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Your hands look a little dirty. I don't know if I want to touch them. But it's just like, you know, once you, like, start a few roads, like, six dates down or what may have you, you can start saying, hey, can I hold your hand? Would that be too much to ask? Because like Chris has said, it's so nice to have that, you know, I'm respecting you and your boundaries, so this is why I'm asking.
Yeah, if I were initiating it, you know, I would always make sure to ask first. You know, I never want it to be this awkward moment where, like, oh, hand. You know, I'm making this motion that you can't see right now, but, like, two hands coming together and, like, ooh, we met up, and, you know, the two hands just happen to be together, and it's great. So, yeah, it like Lisa said, you know, it's not like in the movies and whatnot, and, you know, I'd rather have consent involved, you know, before actually, and, you know, having something like that happen. It was kind of a little strange with the relationship I had because one of the activities we went out on a date doing was snowshoeing, and we went down a slippery hill, and we're like, oh, you know, can we hold hands going down the hill? And that was a moment that was comfortable enough for both of us that we were able to gauge for the next time, okay, holding hands when we're not in danger of slipping and falling is totally fine. So, you know, I think that was a nice stepping stone.
No, that's
stone
just
to
every
that.
One of your dates has to be something involving danger so you get a handhold in it.
Exactly. But I think also, like Kyle and Krista said with boundaries, I do think that it's important to understand the other person's reasons for their boundaries, you know, because I think so often it can feel a little bit, you know, especially when it comes to awkward conversations like this, like we're dealing with this very, like, to use the word Lisa used, clinically defined set of expectations. And when you understand what's behind those, I think it can help inform the way you interact with the other person in a much healthier way.
Yeah. Well, good point. And I think it is true that, you know, it's just I think also we have to embrace the fact that it is going to be awkward at first. You're not no one's going to have this like seamless transition into dating and all the questions will be made clear and whatever. It's going to be weird. And you're going to get to the point where, you know, eventually you have to either decide that, you know, both of you think this is getting more serious or else someone's going to have to ask or else you're going to read signs that like, oh, yeah, I think we're getting serious. But there's going to be weirdness. And so I think it is a good rule of thumb to combine a lot of fun stuff with the more serious conversations that you have to have and the, you know, the benchmark conversations of like, okay, let's move this forward and stuff. But meanwhile, let's actually just have fun too. Like not, I think it was a hard lesson for me to learn that not every date has to be some kind of like, you know, you learn all this stuff about the person and it has to be like landmark or something, or you're going to look back on it and be like, oh, here's where we dealt with this issue. Because otherwise you just become the sum of a bunch of issues. And so you don't want to have to kind of go there too fast, too soon. And again, if the relationship doesn't work out, then you didn't feel like you mined this field of crazy, you know, and had to do that every single time where you're just exhausted. But
yeah.
But thanks, you guys, for weighing in on this. I think
you're
that
welcome.
Was good.
Thank you.
To get some insight.